Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I said last week that I believe what God is going to do in the new year is to give us a fresh revelation of love, to really be moving amongst us in His love. It's going to be the kind of key word, I think, probably for the whole year, but certainly in the new year. And we know that Jesus at the Last Supper said to the disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." And I've told you before that the tenses of the verbs are always important in Scripture, that Jesus doesn't actually say, "I love you," but "I have loved you." Because God expresses His love in very practical ways, in what He does, not just in what He says. And then He says to the disciples, "Now remain in my love, abide in my love." And that's going to be the essential thing that we do. We continue to remain, to live in, to abide in His love. If we do that, everything we say and do will be motivated by love. This is what it really means to abide in His love. So He says then to the disciples, "If you obey my commands, you will remain, you will abide, you will stay, you will live in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love." And then He says, "I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." So in saying this about His love and about love being the thing that motivates our obedience, all the time Jesus is saying, "I want all this for you because I want you to know the same fullness of joy that I've known." And remember, it was the anointing of the oil of joy that was upon Him that raised Him above His companions. Jesus was the most joyful person that has ever walked on the face of the earth, because He was the most loving person who ever walked on the face of the earth. Those two things go together. Now, I don't want to so much preach about His love this morning as just take you through a whole series of scriptures which demonstrate for us the love of God. Actually, I'm going to go mostly into the Old Testament, because these were the scriptures from which Jesus preached and that were familiar to all those early Christians, because, of course, the New Testament hadn't been written. And it's out of the truth of the Old Testament that the New Testament is born. And I think many of you have appreciated seeing how the New Testament is in the Old Testament as we've been going through those early chapters of the Bible. But I'm going to jump ahead from where we are in our Old Testament lectures to a time of revival. There were times of revival in the Old Testament. And when we look in the book of Nehemiah, there's the account of Ezra leading the people back into the Word of God. They'd actually lost the law. Now, for us, let's, instead of thinking of the law, just think of the Word. The nation had lost sight of the Word of God altogether. And actually, this nation and other nations today are losing sight of God's Word. They're getting further and further away from the Word of God. And they rediscovered the law. And so all the people were called together to hear the reading of the law and actually to then repent that the nation had got so far away from the will and the purpose of God. And they needed to come back to his word. You can read all about it in Nehemiah. But if you look at chapter, if you've got your Bible and you want to follow it in chapter 9, the people are worshiping the Lord. If you look at verse, it's also good. In the middle of verse 2, they stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. They stood where they were and they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping their Lord. And then the middle of verse 5, they would stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. And then Ezra prays, and he says, blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. And then he talks about Abraham, and then of the time when the whole nation was in bondage in Egypt. And in verse 9, you saw the suffering of our forefathers in Egypt. You heard their cry at the Red Sea. You sent miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his officials and all the people of the land. For you knew how arrogantly the Egyptians treated them. You made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. You divided the sea before them so that they passed through it on dry ground. This is the act of deliverance that is like a prefiguring of what Jesus, of course, accomplished on the cross. And then he talks about how God met with them to give them the law, his word. Verse 13, you came down on Mount Sinai, you spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and laws that are just and right, and decrees and commands that are good, and so on. So God has delivered them. God has shown them what his purpose is. And then in verse 16, we have the first but. And this whole chapter is full of buts. And the first but: they, our forefathers, became arrogant and stiff-necked and did not obey your commands. They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked in their rebellion, appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. Now, how did God respond to that? But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore you did not desert them, even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, this is your God who brought you up out of Egypt, or when they committed awful blasphemies. But of your great compassion you did not abandon them in the desert. By day the pillar of cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on their way they were to take. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. You're beginning to understand the love of God, no matter how the people treated him. For 40 years you sustained them in the desert. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. You gave them kingdoms and nations, allotting to them even the remotest frontiers. Verse 23, you made their sons as numerous as the stars in the sky, and you brought them into the land that you told their fathers to enter and possess. Their sons went in and took possession of the land. Verse 25, they captured fortified cities and fertile lands. They took possession of houses filled with all kinds of good things, wells already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. They ate to the full and were well nourished. They reveled in your great goodness. What love. But they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They put your law behind their backs. They killed your prophets who had admonished them in order to turn them back to you. They committed awful blasphemies. So you handed them over to their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. How did God answer their cry? From heaven you heard them, and in great compassion you gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. But as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. Then you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies, so they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, what did he do? You heard from heaven, and in your compassion, you delivered them time after time. You warned them to return to your law, your word, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances, by which a man will live if he obeys them. Stubbornly, they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked, and refused to listen. For many years, you were patient with them. By your spirit, you admonished them through your prophets. Yet they paid no attention, so you handed them over to the neighboring peoples. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Now, therefore, O our God, the great, mighty, and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love, do not let all this hardship seem trifling in your eyes, the hardship that has come upon us, because they were in another perilous position. So if you go down to verse 36, but see, we are slaves today, slaves in the land you gave our forefathers, so that they could eat its fruit and the other good things it produces. Because of our sins, its abundant harvest goes to the kings you have placed over us. They rule over our bodies and our cattle as they please. We are in great distress. In view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. And what is this agreement that they're making? It's really to restore the covenant between them, that they will be obedient to the Lord. The whole basis of covenant is, I will be your God, and you will be my people. So once again, they come to the place of needing to submit themselves to God, to his word, to his purposes, but therefore also to his promises. But all the way through this narrative, all the way through the whole history of Israel in the Old Testament, there is this continual response of God, one of mercy and compassion, of forgiveness, of bringing them into a place of reconciliation with himself, back into unity with his will and with his purpose. When you were doing your forum group this this term on the mercy of God. I commented to you at the end of the plenary session that you made it sound as if the mercy of God really began on the cross. That, you know, in the Old Testament it was living by law, but now the mercy of God enables us to live by grace in the love of God. But you can see, as I pointed out to you then, that God has always been merciful. It's always been his nature to be merciful. He is by nature compassionate. He is by nature full of love. And so as we see all the way through the history of Israel, God was continually restoring his people. And every time he blessed them and they prospered, then they fell away again. While they had need of God, then they submitted themselves to him. But when there wasn't a political pressing need, then they deserted him. And at times even worshipped other gods and false gods. Because as I taught you earlier in the term, it's always easier to worship what you can see rather than what you cannot see. And that's the appeal even today among Catholics and Orthodox believers who have images, who have statues of saints and of Mary, and in the Eastern Church, the icons or the pictures, because it's so much easier to worship something you can see than the God who is invisible and unseen. But of course, we worship the unseen God. You cannot see him, but you can be on the receiving end of his mercy, of his compassion, of his grace, and of his love. But we see in this sort of survey of the history of Israel up to that point, this happened in about the 400s BC, that the nature of God's heart was always to bless his people, and no matter how rebellious they were and how far they went away from his will, to restore them and bring them back into his purposes. Sadly, of course, in the rest of the history of Israel in the Old Testament, you see the same pattern being repeated again and again. And one of the purposes of God in sending his son was that that pattern should be broken, it should end, and that God would raise up a people for himself who would be faithful, who would be consistent in their love for him. And this is the genius, if you like, of God in giving his spirit. And you remember that Paul says that God poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Jesus saying to the disciples, as we've read just now at the Last Supper, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And you see, that love with which the Father loved Jesus and the love with which Jesus loved the disciples, that same love was poured into our hearts when we received the Holy Spirit. And God, you see, has always been faithful in his love. No matter what the people did to him, no matter how far they went away from his word, no matter how great their rebellion, he was always consistent, he was always faithful, he was always merciful, he was always gracious, he was always compassionate, willing them to turn back to him so that again he could bless them and cause them to prosper. And we see this in Jesus, that in his ministry he was giving and giving and giving from the fullness of his grace. From his fullness people received grace upon grace, grace upon grace, grace upon grace. That he didn't come to condemn and to judge, but to save. And you see it, of course, in Saul of Tarsus, the one who was leading the persecution of the church, the most dangerous man alive for the future of the church. And God turns him right around so that he becomes so aware of how great the mercy of God is, how great the grace of God is, that he lavishes his grace upon us. As he says, he lavishes grace upon me, the chief of sinners, because I persecuted the church. And in all this, you see the nature and the character of God. When I was praying during the night, at the end of my prayer time, I just sensed the Holy Spirit telling me to take down from my bookshelf Anything You Ask. This is a really anointed book because it came out of a great move of the Spirit in my life and in what he was doing amongst us in the ministry at the time. And I just happened to open it at the promises that God was giving to his people during the Old Testament, during the prophets, especially in the prophecy of Isaiah. And there's a section here, a short chapter here, which is entitled All Promises. And this is God willing the welfare of his people, no matter how much they treated him. What he wanted to do in their lives in the present situation, but also talking prophetically of what he would do through the Messiah. Because many of these prophecies, many of these promises that I'm going to read, come in the prophecies about the Messiah in what are called the servant songs between Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 55. These are prophetic songs because they might originally have been sung, but they're written in a form of poetry in the original Hebrew. And they speak of the promises of God that are going to be fulfilled through the Messiah when he comes. And of course, that is through Jesus. But every one of these promises speak of the love of God, of the mercy and the compassion of God, and what his attitude towards us is all the time. What you have to understand is that God never changes. Now, we say that, and, you know, we say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. But, you see, if you believe that, if you recognize that is true, then every moment of every day of your life, he is merciful towards you. He is compassionate towards you. He is gracious towards you. Every moment of every day, he loves you. Every moment of every day, he wants the very best for you, that in all things, he is working for your good. And that never changes because he never changes. His attitude towards you never changes. No matter what you do to him, you see, like the Israelites that we've just read about, all the time he was willing to be merciful and gracious. Yes, he had to deal with them when they disregarded the prophets. He allowed the enemies to overcome them, but only to turn them back to him. That was so that he could bless them. That was always his motivation. He wanted to bless. He wanted to bless. He wanted to bless. He wanted to give them himself. He wanted a people for himself. He wanted a people like himself. He wanted a people full of himself. But God all along knew that that would only be fulfilled through the Messiah, through his son, when he came. So these promises are just put in little short sections. First, God's calling. Receive these personally to yourself. Because we are incorporated into Israel, all these promises are promises for us. But they're not just promises for us as a people. They're promises for us, each one, as those who belong to his people. So God's calling. You are my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Understand who he is. Fear not, For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And then he speaks of his love that is personal for each one of his children. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. He says, with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you. He promises, my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed. No matter what you do to him, he will always remain faithful to his covenant. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love. And that's the covenant that Jesus established with his blood, pouring out his blood for us in love, speaking of the fact that as he's making this covenant, as he's initiating this covenant at the Last Supper, that it's going to be a covenant of love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Therefore, you are to love one another as I have loved you. Covenant of love. Then he speaks of his strength when we're confronted by our weakness. And he says, he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. And God says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Then he speaks of his forgiveness. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. He says, I have swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. And in Zechariah, he says, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with rich apparel. That's the love of God. You see it in the parable of the prodigal son, where the father doesn't only forgive, but he actually puts the rich apparel on. He clothes him with the best robe, with the righteousness of Jesus. That's prophesied here in Zechariah. I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with rich apparel. So much of the New Testament is in the Old being prophesied. Then God speaks of his presence, especially when we're confronted with seemingly impossible situations. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. What have you got to fear if I'm with you? I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I will help you. In Exodus we read, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then back in Isaiah, I will go before you and level the mountain. All that Jesus says about moving mountains is just the fulfillment of that prophecy. He doesn't say we will cause the mountains to be shifted into the sea. God will do that, but it's when we exercise faith and the authority that he gives us because of his great love for us. He speaks of his faithfulness in bringing about the purposes that he has for our lives as we honor his word. I will fulfill to you my promise. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That, of course, is from Jeremiah. Then we're back in Isaiah. My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. I confess that one over my life every day. Hallelujah. Then he speaks words of encouragement, even when things are at their blackest. You will not be forgotten by me. Boy, how so many Christians need to understand that. There's never a moment of time when you are not in the mind of God, when you're not in the heart of God. I will be with you. This is Joshua. I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. We probably know that one and quote it, but I mean, it happens to be true that he will never forsake us. Even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and will save. Hallelujah. I will carry you. I will carry you. See, if you're in a situation where it is so desperate you feel you cannot walk through it, God says, well, that's okay, I'll pick you up and carry you. This is the love of God. This is what we're talking about when we speak of the love of God. Then he promises his guidance. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. You see, when he leads us, it's always because he wants us to prosper. He wants us to profit. He wants us to be blessed. He wants the very best for us because we're his children. And all loving parents want the best for their children. And so he actually gives promises for our children. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. He gives a great promise for living in obedience to his word. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. His promise when you feel that you have failed the Lord completely. I have sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. That's a good one. I've fed on that one a number of times. And we all know, of course, the faithfulness of God that David spoke about in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And in Isaiah, God says, I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. So we see in all the way through the Old Testament, God is revealing his nature and his character. So it's out of his nature, out of this love, that he sends his son. And out of this same love that Jesus constantly shows the mercy and the grace of God, out of this love that he went to the cross. A painting I did some time ago, to me, just expresses this love of God, where in his compassion, he embraces the very ones that put him on the cross. And you see, this is the reality of the love of God. That it's our sin that put him on the cross. And yet, he doesn't judge and condemn us, but he has saved us, he blesses us, he provides for us. He upholds us when we feel totally powerless and inept to do anything ourselves. But you see, my friends, we are not Old Testament. We are New Testament believers. And we can feed on all these good things from the Old Testament, which is why we have it in our Bibles. But God is calling us to live not as they lived in those times, but to live as the new covenant people of God. Can you understand that God does not want a but in your life? As we read that prayer of Ezra, He could speak of all the good and wonderful, gracious, loving things that God was doing for his people. And there was always followed with a but. This is what the people did in response. Instead of loving you with all their hearts and minds and souls and strength, instead of fulfilling your will and purpose, they were more concerned for their own ways. When they were blessed, they forgot you. They saw no need of you and didn't live in dependence upon you. Now, God has blessed us abundantly in these last weeks. He has far, far more for us in the future. How easy it would be for us during these weeks over the Christmas period to forget the Lord, even though Christmas is all about celebrating him and celebrating his birth. How easy it would be for us to compromise, for there to be a but. I'll be back in January, and then I'll seek the Lord again, and then I'll get close to the Lord again, and then he'll forgive me for whatever I did over the Christmas period. You see, that would be an Old Testament mentality, wouldn't it? Is anybody breathing in here this morning? So I don't think we'll do that, do you? I think we'll remain true to the Lord, realizing that we are in a relationship with him now. By his mercy and grace, he has brought you closer and closer to himself, united with him in his love in a way that you hadn't known before. And that is going to grow. You're not going to lose that. You're not going to compromise that during the next few weeks. I always think Christmas is a great time. I love Christmas. I make no apologies for celebrating Christmas. No apologies at all. Some Christians think we shouldn't celebrate Christmas. You know. Well, you know, I suppose even in the church there are spiritual Scrooges. But I love Christmas. I don't love all the worldliness that goes around Christmas. I don't love the worldly Christmas. But I love the fact that we're celebrating the love of God in sending his son. Because if he didn't send his son wouldn't have been able to die on the cross. So I think it's a wonderful celebration that Christ was born. And I'm always so thankful every Christmas time that I've been born again and so belong to him. But my expectation every Christmas is that God is going to birth something new in me. That if I'm celebrating his birth, then I want him to birth something new, something good, something that is going to take me further into his purposes. That it's not, you know, I'll go to midnight mass so I can enjoy Christmas. Kind of thinking that's out there in much of the church. So that I can have Christmas Day to myself. You know, No. We're there on Christmas morning. We're celebrating, rejoicing in God. We're praising him. Hallelujah. But it's what we're doing in our spiritual lives around that. It's not just what happens in a service on Christmas Day. It's not that, you know, I mean, a service is a service. It is what it is. And there's a few carols and you know, we have a family service here. But it's what happens over the period of Christmas that matters. That this is a wonderful opportunity as we celebrate his birth. To celebrate his desire to be merciful and gracious and impart more of that love to us so that we can abide, live, continue in that wonderful and glorious love. What a God. What a God. I just have this picture leaning up against my wall in my office because I don't know where else to put it, actually. It's too big to be at home, and my wife doesn't particularly like it, so. But it's just across the room from me where I sit in my chair. And so I often just look at it. I don't worship the picture, it's not an icon. But I just say, thank you, Jesus. I put you there. And in your mercy, your grace, and your love, you have saved me and you have blessed me. And you've made my life meaningful. Because really, the only sensible meaning for our lives is that we fulfill the purpose of God. So that when we stand before him on the day of judgment, we will hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I wish I could look back. I mean, we don't look back, we look forward. But, you know, I wish there had never been times when I failed the Lord or sinned or grieved him. But whenever I have done that, always he's been there with his compassion, his mercy, his forgiveness. And what I know is that it's not much good doing what they did at the end of that scripture we read from Nehemiah, where they were going to make this solemn agreement with God. Because you make solemn agreements with God. And you know, they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, I don't think it's a road to hell, but you know, you can make all the good New Year resolutions. I never make good year resolutions. Because the only good year resolution worth making is that I would never sin again. And that I would bless and praise God in all things. But I know that these things don't happen by resolutions. They happen through obedience. And that's why we have to come back to the scripture that we read at the beginning. Jesus at the Last Supper with his disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let's all just stand and pray. I want you to just thank God for his love. Not simply his love for all mankind, but his love for you personally. Thank him for his faithfulness to you. No matter what you've done to him, no matter how you've treated him, he's always remained faithful in his love because you're his child. And it's his nature to be faithful. Thank him that he's been merciful to you that his mercies are new every morning. Even when we forget him, as soon as we remember him, he is always there for us. You can forget him during the course of the day, can't you? Realize you've just been doing things in your own strength. And then you suddenly remember, oh yes, Christ is here, Christ is in me. I can trust in him and not in myself. So thank him for his mercy. He's always there for you, always. Never forsakes you, never leaves you. And thank him for his grace. That grace that is always sufficient for you. Grace that supplies for your every need. The grace out of which God gives and gives and gives again to you. That he never loses his desire to give to you. It's his nature. Thank him that he expresses his love for you through his mercy and in his grace. Thank him for all the times that he's restored you back to his best purposes. When for one reason or another you strayed from his will, he's always welcomed you back with the embrace of his love. He's never criticized you, judged you, condemned you. Doesn't lecture you, he just welcomes you back. Like the father in the parable of the prodigal. What great love. You put him on the cross, and through the cross he saved you. Be merciful to you, gracious to you, blesses you, is patient with you, pours out his love into your heart. What a God. What a God. What a God. What a God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Parakala sitaria leto bakala sandara masinama. Bastagalaria leto bakala sitari santama. Bastagalaria leto bakala sitari santama. Now, don't let's make any resolutions about this, but let us thank the Lord that by his mercy and grace, he will enable us to live in his love, to continue in his love, to remain in his love. That by his mercy and grace, he will enable our obedience that enables us to remain in his love in the way that Jesus spoke of. So this new year is going to be a time of greater revelation of that love, enabling us to abide in that love, to live in that love, so that much, much more of our lives, of what we say and what we do, is motivated by that love. that love will pour out of us like a river of life. It will pour out of the things we say. It will be manifested in the attitudes we have towards others. It will be the motive that prompts our actions. Love for one another, love for those that don't know Jesus, love even for our enemies. That this love of God will motivate us at all times in every situation. Now, I haven't preached about this morning, but what God has been saying to me in these last weeks as he's been speaking prophetically of what he's going to do in the new year, he said that abiding in his love is the key to seeing the power of God in our lives. It was because Jesus loved and therefore obeyed the Father, because he loved in the way that he loved, that the power of God was revealed and manifested through his life in the way that it was. And you see, the spirit of love is the spirit of power. They're not two separate spirits. They're two aspects of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. God's poured his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God declares both things. So the spirit of love is the spirit of power. The more that love motivates us, the more that love fills our lives, the more that love is revealed in us, the more power of God is going to be seen. Simply because we will be more dependent upon the Holy Spirit as we abide in that love, so the power of God will be released. It will be evident in our meetings, it will be evident in our prayer, it will be evident in our walk with the Lord, it will be evident in the things we see when we go out on mission, but there will be much, much more power. Not because we seek power, but because we love. And out of that love, by the mercy and the grace of God, he enables our obedience. So just thank the Lord that 2018 is going to be a powerful year. Hallelujah. A year full of love, full of power, because it's going to be full of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just worship him now. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Popara sandaria lero bakala sita di sandama. O papara 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 sarabaria lero bakala sita di sandama. O papara sandaria lero bakala sita di sandama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Popara sandaria lero bakala sita di sandama. O papara sandaria lero bakala sita di sandama. O papara sandaria lero bakala sita di sandama. Popara sandaria lero bakala sita di sandara mazundama. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Popara sandaria lero bakala sita di sandama. O papara sandaria lero bakala sita balandama. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now can you pray and ask the Lord to take all the buts out of your life? Can you tell him that you don't want any buts? You don't want any compromise? Hallelujah. The next year is going to be an uncompromising year. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Popara sandaria leto bakala sitari sandama. O papara sandaria leto bakala sitari sandama. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your holy name. Bless your holy name. Korala bakara sandaria leto bakara sina. By your mercy, Lord, by your grace, in your love. Hallelujah. And we thank you that your joy will abound amongst us. And we will be such a joyful people. Thank you, Lord. I think there needs to be some more vocal praise. We just speak out that thanksgiving, that praise to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Paralaba sandaria lero bakala sitri sandama. O papara sandaria lero bakala sitri sandaria lero bakala sinama. O papara sandaria lero bakala sitri sandama. O papara sandaria lero bakala sitri sandama. O papara sandaria lero bakala sitri sandama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Poparazandari alero bakala sita di sandama. O paparazandari alero bakala sita di sandama. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God. Poparazandari alero bakala sita di sandama. Poparazandari alero bakala sita di sandama. Bastakalari alero bakala sita di sandari alero bakala sita. Bastakalari alero bakala sita di sandama. O papara zandari alero bakala sitri sandama. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. I exalt you. I glorify you. I magnify your name. I bless you, Lord. You are so good. You are so good. Your mercy endures forever. Your mercy endures forever. Your mercy endures forever. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're always merciful. Thank you that you're always gracious. Thank you that you're always slow to anger and abounding in love. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. You abound in love. You abound in love. You abound in love. Abundant love, abundant love. Thank you that you want to fill my life with abundant love. And Lord, that's what I want. I want my life to be filled with abundant love. I want to overflow with your love. I want that love to pour out like rivers of living water. And I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you for your abundant love. For your abundant love. Thank you. It's a love without measure. We can't discern how high and deep and wide and long it is. Thank you, Lord. It's so great. Your love is so great. Your love is so great. So great, I will not be able to contain it. It will just pour out. It will just overflow. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that spirit of love. Thank you for your spirit of love. Thank you, Lord, that that spirit of love gives birth to your power. Thank you that your power will just roll through my life. It will flow through my life. As I abide in your love, so your power will flow through my life. And I bless you and I praise you and I thank you. I exalt you, Lord. Porala bakala sandaria lero bakala sinama. O papara sandaria lero bakala sidri sandama. O papara sandaria lero bakala sidri sandama. O papara sarabaria lero bakala sandama. O papara sandaria lero bakala sidri sandama. Bapara sandaria lero bakala sidri sandama. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Papara zandaria lero bakala sitri sandama. Oh, papara zandaria lero bakala sitri sandama. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye. To Bethlehem, come and behold him, born the King of Israel. ages. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory, Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Koralama sandare alenoma. Koralama alenoma santo balanoma. E papare alero bakala sandare alenoma sinuma. O papare eleno ma santo pacalasino ma. O papare eleno pacalasito di santo. O papare eleno ma sandare eleno ma sino ma. O papare eleno ma sandare eleno ma santo. O la la mare eleno ma santo ma. Ora la mare eleno ma santo per calasino ma. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pola la mare eleno ma sandare eleno ma sino ma. O papare eleno ma santo. O papare eleno ma sino ma. Era la mare eleno ma santo per calasino ma. Ora la mare eleno ma santo per lino ma. Ora la mare eleno ma sito di santo. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ora la mare eleno ma santo per calasino marando ma. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Cora la Maria leno ma sanduma. Hallelujah. 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 Cora la lana ma sandaria leno ma sanduma. Ora la mare eleno ma santo balana ma sino ma. O papare eleno ma sino ma rando ma sino ma. Era la mare eleno ma santo pa calasino ma. O papare eleno pa calasito di santo. Ora la mare eleno ma santo pa calasino ma rando ma. O papare eleno pa calasito di santo ma. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord, that your love is holy love. It's a righteous love. It's a love full of power. It's a victorious love that has already overcome all that belongs to the darkness. Thank you that your love is full of light and brings your light into our hearts and lives. Thank you that your love is a faithful love, a never-ending love, an eternal love. And thank you, Lord, that nothing in the whole of creation can ever separate us from that love. That it's ours now and for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, that nothing can ever shake that love that you have for us. It's always true, always consistent, always rock-like, thoroughly dependable, reliable. Thank you, Lord, that when we get up in the morning, we never have to worry about what kind of mood you're in. Because you're always full of mercy, always full of grace and love, always faithful, always the same. Thank you that in that great love, you want to pour out your blessings and your riches into our lives so that we become a blessing to others and can glorify you in fulfilling your purposes for us. So we praise you, Lord. We bless you. And we pray, Lord, that you will keep us focused over these coming weeks so that when we come back all together at the beginning of next term, we're ready just to move ahead with you. To see the outworking of all that you have planned for us and all that you desire to outwork within us. So we bless you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. It's that old song, we won't sing it now, but oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only way you can truly be thankful for that love is to love him in return. Praise you, Lord. And if we love him, then we will love one another as he has loved us. So, Lord, we thank you. Oh, these are going to be such glorious months that lie ahead of us, with a greater and greater revelation of yourself. And we praise you, we bless you in the wonderful, holy name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.